Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned earlier the focus of the message today is on Genesis chapter 18. I'd just like to highlight these words from verse 17. Should I hide what I am about to do? The two old friends met in one of those hole-in-the-wall places, you know, the kind that brews its own, roasts its own coffee beans, you know, kind of one of those unique places. The way they have, like, the table set up with the chairs grouped just right and the decor, so there's all these little, like, conversation centers to just begs for warm conversation between friends, right? You know the place I'm talking about? Maybe you frequent one of those places. Nothing against the chains, but there's always just something neat about a locally owned coffee shop. And they met at one of those places, these two friends. The first friend got there first, a little bit eager, but also a little bit more available time-wise, and got there first and picked up the perfect table, set stuff down, went up and ordered the favorite concoction of brewed and whipped and mixed, whatever it was. But also sprung for the second friend that was coming, having remembered from years ago just what their favorite concoction was. And of course, because this was going to be a long conversation, the two friends hadn't seen each other for years. There was also a number of scones placed appealingly on a nice white china plate set there on the table. Of course, as the first friend sat there and waited for the second friend to arrive, every time the door swung open, and it swung open a lot, there was a furtive glance to see if the second friend was there yet. And finally, that glance was rewarded as the second friend came in, kind of searching for that familiar face. The first friend kind of haltingly stood up and called out and waved a hand, and they embraced, and there was a flurry of flustered greetings, and the two of them just flopped down in their chairs, big sighs of contentment and smiles of joy that after all these years, here they were together. A sip, a bite, and the conversation began. It was like the two friends had just stopped talking yesterday, even though it had been years. And the first friend said, well, I sure was happy to get your email about getting together today. The second friend said, yes, it has been a long time, but it is so good to see you. No matter, the first friend said, so. Oh, sorry, I'll do this side. So, tell me. And they just launched into it. Family, friends, catching up, conversation, picking up where they had left off as if it was yesterday. Such was their history and their relationship and their knowledge of each other and their trust for one another. There were experiences remembered and stories told, sudden embarrassments and bursts of laughter and family updates and, as you might imagine, even a few sympathetic tears. It's just so good to talk, to share, to affirm, to encourage. But after the second cup and mutual denials of a third, because, you know, if I have a third, I'll never sleep tonight, conversation kind of took a turn. The first friend took a deep breath and looked that first friend in the eye and said, there is something we need to talk about. One of the reasons we got together today was I needed to share something with you, and this isn't going to be easy. I hope you know how much I value your friendship, how good it is to see you today. But I've got this kind of, well, it's some sad business that I need to take care of and deal with, and well, it's probably going to impact your family. And I thought you should know about it before I did anything. You see, how would you respond if you were Abraham? You just had a wonderful conversation with the Lord. Yeah, there were some tricky moments, some embarrassing moments. You know, the Lord had revealed once again that Abraham and Sarah would have a son, and Sarah laughed in her doubt. And the Lord called her on it. But you know the rest of that story. She also laughed in joy when Isaac was born a year later, and there was forgiveness, and there was affirmation, and there was renewed promises. Oh, after so many years, Abraham and the Lord together again, it was wonderful. But then as the Lord got up to leave and turned his steps toward doomed Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham took those first few strides with the Lord. And the Lord sang it as if to himself, but audibly so that Abraham could hear it for Abraham's benefit. He said to himself, "Should I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" By simply bringing up that question, the Lord is implying, reminding, affirming for Abraham the close relationship that they have. It affirms that there is a long history, a deep relationship, promises for the future for Abraham and his descendants for generations to come, a relationship that will last into eternity. And the Lord, in his ruminations, as Isaiah the prophet describes, the Lord lets into his own ruminations Abraham, whom I love. And people have a lot to say about prayer. There are literally volumes written on how to pray, what to pray, when to pray, what to expect when you do pray, and so on. But like all things that are connected with the Lord, it always comes down to one thing, doesn't it? Love. His love for you. His relationship with you. His knowledge of the intimations of your heart. His promises for the future, all of it tied up in his love and his relationship with you. And while we rejoice in that, there is that little voice inside of us, though, that always comes back and makes us a little fearful to be vulnerable before the Lord. We have this, "I'm sinful, I'm guilty, I deserve none of this" kind of attitude. And you know you're right. I mean, Abraham felt the exact same way as he was pleading before the Lord for 50 and 45 and 40 and 30, and you know where it goes from there. Abraham said, "See, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it on myself to speak to my Lord." He knew it, and you and I know it, that there is this barrier that exists between us and the Lord called sin. It separates us from him. It is this unrighteousness that keeps us from freely approaching the Lord. A natural distraction, if you will, that keeps us from focusing on him and approaching him as dear children, their dear father. And yet the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and overflowing with mercy and truth, maintaining mercy for thousands, forgiving guilt and rebellion and sin, it is this Lord who invites you to come to him, to speak with him, to share with him, to throw off all those things that weigh us down and intimidate us, to ignore all those distractions that blind us, to dismiss all those things that cause doubt and fear in our hearts, and just focus on him. to join with him in conversation, unencumbered by all those things that weigh us down and distract us and pull us away. He wants that time with just you, and he offers it to you anytime you want. As the Apostle Peter declares, Christ also suffered once for sins in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Like Abraham, almost like two old friends over cups of coffee and scones, not only are we assured of our relationship and affirmed in our confidence before the Lord, we are invited to come along with our Heavenly Father, and through our petitions and our supplications, as we will do in just a few moments, to intercede, to pray for the righteous, to pray for deliverance, to pray that the gospel would go out to the ends of the earth, to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. So pray. Pray in grace, pray in selflessness, pray in boldness without ceasing, be it for 50 or 45 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 or 1, even you. This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we also know that we receive the things we have asked from him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.